up, Daddy Gang. It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
And 5, 6, 7, 8 in New York. What's up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, back at it again for another episode of Call Her Daddy. Can you feel the vibration? Okay, hi, I'm podcasting. We're back, Daddy Gang. This past week on Wednesday, the main Caller Daddy episode was with Eileen Kelly. She has a podcast called Going Mental. And all of you enjoyed the episode, so I figured this fucking episode was 2.5 hours long and I had so many stories that I couldn't include because I didn't want you to hate me and be sitting in your chair for 2.5 hours. So I'm breaking it up, all right? We're back at it again with Eileen Kelly today. And I don't know, I may like this even more than the original main pod, so fucking enjoy. Masturbating. We're getting right into it. We're getting right back into it on masturbation. I was so happy to hear that it really helped some of you. Some of you sent me pictures masturbating in the moment. I was so happy. Like many of you squirting, many of you orgasming in my DMs. And I was like, that's that energy that I need here on Call Her Fucking Daddy. But in all seriousness, really happy that this helped you guys. And you're enjoying it and you're hopefully going to start masturbating more or begin to think about it. You are not alone. You have no idea how many people were nervous to begin touching themselves. And now all of a sudden, I've created a monster out of all of you. You can't be stopped. Here's a little bit more, Daddy Gang, on masturbating. XOXO, Big Al. This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Daddy Gang, I get that there are some things you don't want to share, but bottling everything up inside can truly have some awful consequences. I remember growing up, I guess honestly, the truth is I was getting bullied and I was like so embarrassed to tell my family that because at home I was fine, but at school it was tough for me. And I just remember feeling so awful about myself and I kept it to myself and I dealt with it by myself. And it literally just caused truly maybe like a decade of trauma. And later in life, now that I've processed it, I'm like, damn, I would have been so much better off if I had just talked to someone about it. And it didn't even have to be my parents. Talking helps a lot. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I have had such an incredible relationship and experience with therapy. I was so ready to get better and to better myself and to understand myself more. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, convenient, and flexible. It's easy to get started. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists whenever you need to for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/daddy today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/daddy.
2 years ago, I became pregnant with a baby I desperately wanted. During a routine ultrasound, I learned that the fetus would have a fatal condition and never survive. I had to flee my own state to receive treatment. I think Donald Trump bears an incredible amount of responsibility for these restrictive laws. We need leaders that will protect our rights, and that's Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
So many women wrote in being like, I'm embarrassed. I don't feel comfortable within myself to masturbate. Like, I feel awkward. I came from a culture of shame.
Yeah, I was taught that was wrong. But even, like, if you go all the way back to your potty training days, which a lot of people can't remember.
Yeah.
if your parents taught you that like natural bodily functions were like bad or like, you know, don't wet the bed and it has this negative overtone, that can actually really affect your sex life later on and just how you view or like, why are boys and girls like, boys are always given names of like literally like their penis and stuff, whereas women are like, no child knows the word vulva. I honestly didn't even know vulva until like 5 years ago.
Or your clitoris. Like, I didn't know.
Or clitoris or vagina. Like, it's always like some weird like baby name for it. And so like, those are like serious differences that then affect how you feel about your body.
It's so true. And it's interesting because I did have also an overwhelming amount of people being like, I can have sex with my boyfriend, but something about being alone, I don't even know what to do. So I feel like, maybe this isn't the conversation you expected to have, but like going back to how often do you masturbate? What's your setup? Like, let's just talk masturbation and your maybe your relationship to it, when it started, how it's evolved.
Yeah, I think I started probably in middle school. I think I was on a trip, a family like vacation in a warm place. Maybe it was the first time or around the first time that I watched porn.
Okay.
And that's when I started masturbating.
Wait, in middle school?
Probably middle
school.
Was it? Probably like sixth grade or something.
Was it like scary to see that porn at that age, or were you just like,
no, I think naturally? it was like super kind of safe PG porn. Think I used to watch it on Playboy's website. So it was like maybe just girls topless. Like it wasn't even people fucking.
Got it. That makes sense.
And so it wasn't overwhelming at all. But I remember feeling like really kind of dirty and gross after I would do it. But
I understand because I've been there before. I think with the whole Catholic thing growing up, not it being normalized, whenever you're touching yourself, like, stop that. Like, don't touch yourself. It's a natural thing. And I think the issue also for girls, it's like all of a sudden it becomes like so normal for like guys to go jerk off or like whatever, like they need to do that. But like, it's so unnormal for women for some reason.
Women will lie about it. Like, especially in high school, all the girls were like, I've never done that. But it's like, you definitely have. But I don't blame them for lying about it. It's because it's like an quote unquote embarrassing thing.
Which is like, wait, why? And that's, I think, why Call Her Daddy, when it started, I was like, grab your fingers and do it for a guy. Doesn't need to do it for you. A girl doesn't need to do it. Nobody needs to do it for you. You can do it yourself.
But you need to do it yourself to know what you like.
1000%.
Like, if you cannot, and for people listening, like, if you can't make yourself orgasm, how do you expect to teach a partner how to make you orgasm or like to even relax with a partner?
You probably feel comfortable with a partner because, again, that's kind of how like society has deemed it, like the man comes
acceptable,
in
yeah
like, and that's sex. But to go back to basics, when I first started masturbating, like, I didn't have a toy. And I just, again, you don't really learn about like your clit versus like your vulva versus like inside, like what am I doing? I feel like for me, and I openly talk about how like my first toy was like my electric toothbrush, and like I used the back of the head, and I just started trying it. And I think I started really masturbating in like college, like high school. It was just my fingers if I was trying anything. And then college, I was like, all right, let's get into this. I would suggest for anyone listening, if you're feeling, let's go to like the embarrassment. Like, okay, let's take a girl standing in front of us right now being like, I'm embarrassed. I don't know how to be alone with myself and I don't know how to masturbate. Like, let's almost try to like step by step walk them through of like, let's get her comfortable with it.
Well, I think the most important thing is it doesn't even have to be sexual. I think you need to like take a mirror, literally like a handheld mirror, and just like look at your vagina. Like, I feel like so many women have never just sat down and looked at like their vulva.
Dude, I remember having sex with Emily on and her being like, could you pick your vagina out of a lineup?
Yeah,
could you do it?
No, exactly.
If you can't, you don't know your vagina well enough. That's your best fucking friend. So, and listen,
it's with you for life.
It's with you for life. So good. I also think if it's uncomfortable for you, then start there. And like every day of the week, force yourself to like look at your vagina and force yourself to get to a point where you're like, you're no longer cringing and you're like, okay. And all of a sudden now you want to touch it and be like, okay, what's going on there? It broke my heart reading some of these DMs. I was like,
fuck. I get the same similar ones. And it's like, I think the shower is like a good place to to start exploring, like where you know no one's gonna barge in on you. So like, do it when you're home alone, or you can lock the door is important. Like, you have to set the scene the same way you would set the scene like sometimes with a partner.
Start with your fingers. If you don't have lube, I would suggest buy lube. That's like the one thing almost before a sex toy. Like, get some lube for yourself. Take your pointer, your middle finger, and literally just start rubbing around lightly, and just, it's going to feel good.
So like, even just like closing your eyes and like imagining, you know, like a, even the person you have a crush on.
The like crush, like that someone is, hot in a movie that you're into.
Exactly.
Literally picture that and go there. Cause it's like, I get it's hard for women to be like, I don't want to watch porn. I'm like, okay, I get that.
Yeah, a lot of porn is like so aggressive and so degrading. And like, to find a good porn video, you have to go through like hundreds of like ones that you're like, so many. Oh my God.
A tip for all of you. I have like in my like private web pages on my phone, I'll keep like my favorite ones that like worked for me.
Oh, I have a notes app. But I will say a lot of the porn that I have liked to watch, I don't like the super studio production. I like the more amateur stuff.
Same.
And Pornhub and like X Videos just went through like major renovation, got in trouble. So they had to take down a lot of videos, like honestly, like 80% of their videos.
Okay. So I hope you guys enjoyed that little extra masturbating moment. I also want to add, you don't need to act like you know what you're doing. And when everyone is starting out, figuring out their body, figuring out all the way back to the basics of like, how the fuck do I even make out? How much tongue? How much not tongue? Like, what do I do? Do I go for the upper lip, lower? Like, there's so much detail into exploring sex in general. And I want to just make it clear that there is no magical... Guys, I'm sorry. I just can't stop thinking about Christmas. I was about to say, there's no magical elf that just pops up to show you where your fucking clit is. Wouldn't that be the best Christmas gift of the year? He's like, here's the red zone, baby. But the point is that there is no manual. Even if I sit here and I explain to you what works for me, it's probably not exactly to a T also going to work for you. And also, like Eileen said, like, destigmatizing the shame that we have been trained to feel around touching ourselves. It should be more of a celebration and excitement and that little extra dessert for the night, rather than a, oh God, what are my elders gonna say? And oh God, grandma's looking down on me being like, shame on you, Becky. We want grandma to be more like, get in there, Becky. The point is, you are not alone. Figure out what works for you. Don't be too hard on yourself. Just touch yourself. So, like I said in the beginning, Eileen had so many stories that we couldn't get to all of them in the pod, but I wanted to share this one because it embodies everything I've started to talk about with regard to the negative side of social media. People are forgetting that there is a human being behind every profile.
Yeah, I had a cyber stalker. I know.
What?
I know. I'll just quickly say.
Eileen!
Like 6 years ago, and they would make like a million, honestly, like maybe like 70 or 80 fake accounts over like a 5 month span. And then they started sending me my address. They found my home address and they were like, you're going to get murdered. And so like quickly just like climb the ladder to being actually terrifying. So I had to go to the police and it was like a whole thing. And this is kind of before I feel like there were laws in place. This was probably like 2015. And it took like 6 months for Facebook to give up the IP, because Facebook owns Instagram,
right,
to like give up the person's IP address to like even be able to like figure out who it was. And it was some random girl who lived in the middle of the country, didn't even live by me. And she had been trolling me for months. And she ended up calling. I don't know how she got my number. She ended up calling me like years later and apologizing to me. What? I never pressed charges or anything. I just wanted them to stop.
What the fuck did she say?
She was just like, because I had written like, I think I wrote a big article for Playboy on the experience. And she was like, I read your article and I just want to say like, I'm really, really sorry for putting you through that. And I was obviously like, it doesn't excuse it, but I was like going through something. Like, this person was clearly having actually like a psychotic break. Like, the amount of energy to make a new Instagram account, you have to make a new email. She right. made like over like 100 accounts, honestly probably more, because I would block them and then a new one would pop up like 20 minutes later. And they made a whole fake account where they would post like lies about me, but they followed everyone I followed.
Oop. No.
So people would look at it you know, it like got attention because then people would be like, oh, what's this account following me? And it would post like insane, insane stuff. And so I knew this person didn't know me. And I remember like the detectives and the police people being like, you know, this person, like they made me bring in my high school yearbooks to the police station. And I was like, I'm telling you, if this person knew me, they would have actual dirt that was real. Like they would know someone I fucked or like right. someone I dated or someone I had a falling out with. Like everything they're posting, none of this is real. And that's what was kind of scary, because people then read that and they believe it.
That's the
And that's what was really fucked up. And it became this like really weird domino effect for like months of me seeing people that I knew from high school who like weren't nice to me or I didn't have a relationship with commenting, being like, holy shit, like I didn't know she's like this or la la la.
And you're like, this is all lies.
And I'm like, this is literally lies.
Which is the fucked up part of social media, is like even when you know,
there's no vetting.
Yeah, even when it comes out that it's a lie, once you've seen it, it still doesn't leave your head. Like people are gonna still, I'm so sorry. That's literally my nightmare. Like
it did get like all deleted. And ever since, honestly, I wrote that article, I felt like I was able to clear the air. And yeah. like it hasn't followed me since. It's been years. But at the time I was like, I thought I was dying. I was like, holy shit, my life, my reputation, like everything is like getting fucked up the ass.
And it's a girl in the middle of the fucking country. Just
like living at her parents' house.
If anyone is listening to this that is currently writing hate comments, like we see you. We don't really see you, but we read you. We read your comments and like, just be nicer. Like what? Like think to yourself, why am I writing this? Like what do you get from this? Like the hate that they're spewing, it's so internal within you that like think about if you had to walk around every day with all the comments that you're posting about someone next to you, like what does that make you look
and
like?
Just like the heaviness of
right
it. But also I think realizing that like, okay, you and I are real people, like the people that you're commenting this on, like yeah, it shows up on a screen, but like we're humans, we have emotions, that stuff like hurts our feelings.
Yeah.
And I feel like people do it because they're envious or they're jealous or they're not feeling great about their life. So that's why I try to be more vulnerable and like real on Instagram these days ever yeah. since I got out. Cause I'm like, yeah, my life isn't all sunshine and rainbows.
No, it's not perfect at all.
So like, don't be a dick. You don't have to add to it.
Personally, I love a good thirst trap. Now I'm realizing I haven't thrown one up in a minute. I need to get on my game. What is your response to people who criticize you for like over-sexualizing your Instagram? Like, well, do you get haters?
Not really anymore, but I also don't think I put up as many thirst trap stuff as I've gotten older as I did when I was young.
Same.
Which is like a weird thing that I probably need to psychoanalyze. But a lot of the stuff,
yeah.
And I would love to talk to you
wait,
about
let's
this.
Do it. Let's psychoanalyze it. I'm also wondering too, because I literally was just like, wait, why haven't I posted something like that in a while?
But also, why do people connect like posting up a thirst trap? You know, ultimately they're connecting it with your sex life.
Right.
So like, oh, if she posts a naked photo, she's easy, she's slutty. But it's like, I could literally be posting a naked photo and be a virgin.
Literally.
Like, there's no connection there.
Right.
Doesn't all of a sudden like mean you have a snapshot of my sex life.
So true. And also I look back and I'm like trying to think of moments where I've posted a thirst trap and I'm like, okay, maybe younger college Alex was doing it because I was like, I want to get that guy's attention. And
yeah,
like it was like
validation
a perfect,
online.
Yeah, like I don't need to text him tonight what his plans are. I'm gonna post this fucking photo and then I know he's gonna slide in 10 minutes. Also, I don't regret that at all. As I've gotten older, like I feel good. And so I'll just be like, I want to post it. I don't know. I think girls, like if you want to, like post the fucking photo. Like I feel like a lot of times people get insecure about what will my friend say?
Yeah, what will my family think?
What will my family think?
I don't know. It's like a double-edged sword though. I'm like, well, my family doesn't check that shit. So I've always had that freedom of like posting whatever the fuck I want, where I do feel like I have friends who like, they're not in the same boat with that. Like I do think their mom or their dad would flip out if they posted something. So I think you just have to do what works
for you
and your life is what's most important. But also I would get a lot of slack years ago of not being taken as seriously if I was posting those types of photos.
Oh, interesting.
And I wonder if now that, you know, you're reaching new heights in your career, if you ever feel that way. Why are they connected? Like, I think a woman can be sexy and like own her attractiveness and her body. From such a young age, women are taught to use your appearance.
Right.
So it's like, okay, if we reach a certain age and we want to use it to our advantage, like, why not? Fuck the system.
Right. I ebb and flow with it. Like, I feel like maybe before the deal, I was like, okay, I know engagement comes higher if I post
a sexy photo.
Yeah.
It's fucked up, but it's just true.
It's true.
Like, we just have to own that.
Right? Yes. Like, I know that's going to get the most likes. I know then all of a sudden people are going to have come to my page from comments and tags. And so to me, before the deal, there was a lot of pressure on myself as a businesswoman to be like, how do I continue to maintain an engagement level that will help by the end show like my numbers were the biggest this year?
Yes.
And that is exactly what happened. Was it because of thirst traps? No, but I was definitely making it decisions business-wise and not because I was like, oh, I look cute. Like, this past year was because I was like, let me get more engagement. Now I feel, and it's fucked up, but like, I don't feel like I need to ever post one again.
Pressure.
And the only time I want to post it is if I'm like, okay, fuck, the world needs to see this one. This is a good fucking one. But it is fucked up because it's like, then I try to always speak to everyone listening. If you're not in the social media space and you just have a normal Instagram and you're listening to this and you're like, but I want to post it, but I'm embarrassed. I think you got to just fucking post it. Like, I don't know. I just feel like girls are so catty when it comes to talking shit about other girls' posts and scrutinizing them. And I think really it just has to do with more of the girls that are talking shit. You're jealous or insecure, you wish you could also do the same, or you're insecure. So I don't know. I've had girls literally DM me being like, I feel like my friends talk shit when I like post a selfie. You know those girls that like don't do it often? So it would be so embarrassing if they ever did.
Or do you know those friends who are like your friends, but they like don't actually like any of your photos?
Yes.
You know, where you're like, wait, you're supposed to be my best friend, or like they don't post you, they'll post other friends.
Yep. And you're like,
what
is that about?
Yeah.
If there's just such a culture that has been created about social media etiquette that I think is so different than what would be created in like a high school schoolyard. And I just feel for everyone that's growing up with now the internet being almost the
full
soul.
Force.
Yeah.
So I try to actually be off of TikTok.
I haven't gone on TikTok, dude. This is an episode coming out. Ours will come out after it. But I was talking about how I have not gone on TikTok since there was a picture of me. I'm doing a whole episode about it. I got caught photoshopping a photo and it was a really low moment for me. And like, I know what I did and I don't need people to tell me that I'm an awful person because I was insecure about my body in Photoshop.
I don't think you're an awful person, obviously.
Thanks.
I don't think.
Thanks, Eileen.
No, but if you put any one of those people who are commenting that stuff and they were on a stage where millions of people are looking at their photo, like, I'm sure they would do the same thing. And it's like these unrealistic beauty standards that just women have, and especially in LA and in Hollywood. I had Madison Beer on my podcast and we talked about that, talked about editing photos, and like, she was really real about it.
Dude, people are ruthless to
her. And people are so nasty to her.
It's so bad.
And she's always on like Celeb Face or that.
People are always like, she's too pretty. It can't be real. And it's like,
yeah. And so she's like, okay, when I'm not wearing makeup, and then people are like, oh, you look disgusting. But then when I do try to like feel good about myself and get done up, then it's like, you're too pretty. And she's like, I can never win. And she's like, no one really cares about the actual things that I'm doing, of like my music. Like, it's always reverted back to like, she's this Instagram hot girl.
It's really sad. And I just
ask, like, why are women reduced to that?
Right. Like, her songs are great. Go listen to her fucking song.
Yeah.
That's why I think in the beginning, too, that was a power move that I kept trying to enforce in the very beginning of Call Her Daddy, when people would be like, oh, they're like just a slut talking about whatever. And I'd be like, it's a podcast. You don't see my face when I'm talking about what I'm talking about. So like, don't reduce me to my looks because you don't even see me while I'm talking about sucking dick. So fuck you.
Do you feel like that has shifted?
Totally.
Since the deal?
Yes, but
like, people take you more quote unquote seriously now, or do you still feel that pull? And I only say that because I definitely, that was a big identity thing for me. Like, okay, I'm posting these naked photos and yeah, that's part of my identity. Like right. I'm a young, in my 20s, like sexual person. I love like going out with my friends and going dancing and getting fucked up and right. like I'm hot and I own it.
Yeah.
And then there's this part of me that's like, okay, I want to go and talk at an Ivy League school and like meet with doctors and have like big board certified psychiatrists on my podcast and be able to have an intellectual conversation.
This episode is brought to you by Prime Video. I am a certified rom-com addict. I love watching movies and shows that are funny and cute and romantic and make me want to cuddle up to Matt, okay? And Prime Video feeds that addiction. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Donald Glover, and Maya Erskine kind of love each other, kind of hate each other, and really love to rip each other's clothes off. Dare I say, better than the original. My Lady Jane, a hilarious, heartwarming, and sometimes steamy historical reimagining of the story of Lady Jane Grey. You can watch both of these and a whole lot more on Prime Video. You can also indulge in even more rom-com classics by adding channels like Max, Stars, and Paramount Plus. Prime Video, find your favorite flirty rom-coms all in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details. This episode is brought to you by new Garnier Fructis hair filler with vitamin C, G. Many things can damage your hair, like heat styling and bleaching, but the all new Garnier Fructis hair filler systems can reverse up to 1 year of damage to your hair smoothness in just one use, giving you up to 79% stronger hair and up to 4 times less breakage. And all Garnier products are approved by Cruelty Free International under the Leaping Bunny program. New Garnier Fructis hair filler, pre-shampoo, shampoo, conditioner, and serum are available now on Amazon and at Walmart, Target, Ulta, Drug, and select grocery stores. Learn more at GarnierUSA.com. This episode is brought to you by eBay. You know real when you get it, right, Daddy Gang? It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. So ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Tap the banner to learn more.
All right, all right, all right. Listen up. Agents can be fucking assholes. And you're like, Alex, I don't have a fucking agent. Well, do you have a boss? Do you have some asshole at work that's trying to steal your idea or tell you how to operate in the world simply because he's 1 year older than you and he has a penis? Or even if it's a woman, it could be a woman that's putting you down because she's insecure or she's jealous. Whatever it is, there's always a dynamic within the work environment where someone could be above you or even a peer and they're trying to hinder you from reaching your full potential. Enjoy the segment because Eileen and I go in.
So I got dumped by my agent. Just agents.
Dude.
Like 2 months ago? No, maybe a month.
Wait, I love how you say dumped. I thought you were going to say dumped by my boyfriend. I was like, dumped by your agents.
No, I got dumped by my agents.
Wait,
no,
walk
I always
me
dump
through
my
that.
Boyfriends.
Yeah. You're like, no, I've never gotten dumped, but I did get dumped by my agents.
No,
go
I
fuck.
I got dumped by my agents, I think. And I do think it's very nuanced and like we could go there.
Tell me.
But basically, obviously, so I used to have a podcast a couple years ago. Yep. I did just honestly 10 episodes before I went away to treatment. And it was on sex, but like very specific sexual identities. So like I had someone who was asexual on. I had a professional dominatrix. And these are relatively like nobodies, but yeah. They were big in their community. So
got
people
it.
Who did public speaking on like one woman had genital herpes and she came on and talked about what's it like to date with genital herpes.
Yeah.
And they were really informative episodes and they were great. Then I went away and then I came back and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to pick up my career where I left off. I want to go into this mental health space. Basically, I called my agent and they just weren't really aligned with me switching from sex to mental health because obviously sex sells.
Of course.
And so they dumped me. But They dumped me so callously. Actually, one of them. So I had several agents.
Okay.
As I'm sure you're familiar right. with. Like, you have a book agent. You have an agent for non-scripted television. I had a yes. podcast agent, like paid an agent for endorsements. So my non-scripted agent called me and was like, we just don't really, we're not super aligned with like where you're moving. So we need to... And I cry. I'm honestly really embarrassed because it was so shocking that I freaked out and started crying and was a little bit like, no, give me a second chance. And I think the next morning when I woke up, I was like, fuck you. And honestly, he called me a week later to apologize at how rude he was. And I was like, honestly, you're going to kick yourself in a year. Like, put money on that.
That person was never meant to be your agent then. If they didn't see the transition from sex to mental health, which also are fully intertwined.
So intertwined. Right. So related.
Right. It's also sad that it's a man saying that. And it's like, you know what? Maybe it's something within you that's making you so uncomfortable.
Well, I have a little goodie that I'll just share on this. So a friend of mine, a girl I know, used to hook up with that agent.
Oh,
listen to this. And they had been hooking up for a while, and she went to him and she said, I think I'm ready to sign. She does like a lot of media work.
Okay.
And she doesn't do a podcast, but she does like this Instagram show, and I think she'll be super successful. Like, I could see her having a talk show. She's just like climbing the ladder. And she went to him and she was like, I think I'm ready to sign. And he said, no one's going to take a meeting with you. Like, very small dick energy. But I told her, and I ran into her at like a party a month ago after this had happened. And I was like, you know what? That's his loss. And like, being told no, even in that moment, and getting dumped or rejected by my agent, obviously it sucked. Like, I literally cried all night. But then I was like, you know what? If these people don't believe in me, like, fuck them. I'm going to find someone who does, and I'm going to prove them wrong.
You need to, like, in business, I feel like also like take those moments as like, thank fucking God they showed their true colors, because now it would be like so awful if all of a sudden you have this like crazy thing that comes along and they get to be a part of it. It's
and
like,
they get to
no.
take 10% nope. or 15%.
Go fuck yourself.
No, literally. But what sucked also is for years, like, he had taken me to dinner and like would do that whole Hollywood agent spiel. You know it well.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure.
I avoid them all. I'm like, I can't go to dinner. I'm sick.
And then this happens, and it was so like, okay, we've been trying for a couple of years and like we're not making as much money as we want to. Like, if you're not a TikToker who walks in with 100 million followers that like we can make easy, quick money on, like, we don't want you.
Dude, let me just tell you, I won't go that hard, but agents, I love mine, but have a very dark existence because they're essentially I could go off, but like,
I could go off.
Yeah. I just hit my microphone. I'm like, fuck you. No, don't. That's frustrating. And I'm really sorry. But again, next thing that you get where you're like, oh, look at me thriving, send him flowers. Because that was something that I've been waiting to do for my ex's agent who like tried to ruin my career. And I was like, can someone write that down in the room? We need to send him flowers. Write that down. It's an agent at CAA. That was my boyfriend's agent. And
see,
when
I think I'm actually going to switch to CAA.
Who were you with?
I was with WME.
Oh, okay. No, I don't know anyone at WME, but that's not mine. So we can say fuck you.
No,
love
no,
you guys,
I
but fuck
I
that
honestly,
one.
Honestly, I had a good experience with a couple of my agents. Like, they were great.
Right.
And then I had a really horrible experience with a couple of them. So I didn't know, like, is it kosher? Is it not kosher to switch agents within the agency?
Yes.
And it's like, it's super political. It and, is. Like, this weird thing. And I think if you grow up in a family who's not, like, I'm not a nepotism child. Like, my family, literally my dad owns a shipyard. Like, could not be less related to Hollywood.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't have anyone to go to advice about these situations, or like having an entertainment lawyer who's like looking over. Like, 4 or 5 years ago, when I signed with WME, like, it was like dipping my toe in like a pond that I had no idea.
Dude, I remember when CAA, that was my first agency. We never did anything
with
them.
Who are you with now?
UTA. UTI, I always like to say. If they're pissing me off, I'm like, UTI, you need to back up. No, but CAA was my first agency, and nothing against them. It just, there was nothing happening. But, and we can talk off
camera
about this.
It's hard to get lost in the sauce.
It is. And I was like, it was... there's just a lot of politics behind it. And so I relate to you, especially being young, where you're the talent and all these men are trying to like tell you what to do with your career. And I'm like, wait, so you want
it's
me?
Like, you can't even get a bitch to suck your dick.
Literally, literally. So fuck off. Daddy King, I'm laying on my bed. I hope you guys enjoyed the mini episode. I loved it. I love Eileen. I love you. Can you tell? We're coming up to the fucking holiday season. Daddy gang, you know the motherfucking drill. I will see you fuckers next Wednesday.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.